Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our sunny studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the conversation at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very excited to have our guest with us. He is a researcher with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Tyler Burns is here. Good morning, Tyler. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me on. It's good to see that people are still reading this report. Appreciate the attention.
You guys came out with this report in March, and I still think it's really critical, especially, Tyler, because during COVID, we flocked to the outdoors. And I think most with all the things that Wisconsinites might disagree about, the one thing that we can all agree on is we love our lakes and our rivers and our forests and our hiking trails and all the wonderful natural resources that we have. And It's really economically beneficial to the state to protect these, correct?
Yeah. So, I think one thing I do want to comment on over my shoulder here, for those of you who can see me, that's a landing net that my grandfather made, handmade for trout fishing. And yeah. I think that, speaks to what you just said, which is this long tradition of outdoor recreation about, taking action to get out in the environment, across, like you say, across all political divides. So I just, since that's in the frame, I wanted to point that out. he's no longer with us, but he was a woodworking teacher and longtime advocate for outdoor recreation. And so, I think that's one of the things that drew my interest to this, and so it's the heritage, but then also, as you say, the economic impact. So, estimated almost $9 billion contribution from outdoor recreation. And then, there's the other part, which is forestry products. And that's a nearly $7 billion industry here in the state. So those two things together make a huge contribution to our economy and kind of, set the tone, I think, for why people value, going outside so much.
Absolutely. And as you said, what, $9 billion? That's a lot of money, man. And start poisoning our water and if we start killing off our fish, and that's not going to be good for any of us.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that kind of leads to some of the other benefits that, we get from the environment. These are a little bit harder to quantify, of course, but, what about the benefits from having a wetland that, prevents flooding, that cleans the water so that we don't have to have quite so much treatment when we're removing nutrients, those sorts of things. When you look at the total impact of the environment, it's likely much more than just sort of those numbers of what the generated measurable economic impact in terms of people buying and selling, tents and that sort of thing.
But that's why it's so important too, right, Tyler, that we have responsible stewardship. So if you want to do a development, you need to take into account the wetland and what the effect is going to be of that. And then on a larger ecosystem, too, because we're all part of a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, one of the things Wisconsin has really done on that front is preserve, quite a bit of public land. So we have something like, 6.6 million acres of public land across the state. That's, again, that helps give all of us access to both these outdoor recreation activities, but then also, these other ecosystems benefits that we're talking about here. So having that many acres of land and having a focus on preserving things like clean water, that costs money. None of this is free. That's really what we dug into in this report, which is, how are we funding a lot of these activities? How are we paying for, maintaining these lands? How are we paying for getting more land? How are we paying for things like, habitat work, fish hatcheries, those sorts of things? That was really the thrust of the report is, hey, we recognize this stuff is all great. Both Jason and I, authors of the report, are big outdoorsmen ourselves. So we wanted to dig into how are we paying for this and then how can we pay for it in the future?
If you're just joining us, Tyler Burns is our guest. He's a researcher with the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and we're talking about their big report that they came out on taking a look at funding for our parks and all these things that we've got, we all pretty much agree on that we love and we need and we want to sustain. So I'm assuming, Tyler, that there have been funding cuts to our agencies that watch over these things. Is that accurate?
So it's not so much cuts per se. It's more a shift away from funding them with our general tax revenue and more towards a shift of funding them with, you know,
user fees.
Yeah. And, you know, state parks is a really good example of this. You know, in the mid 90s, state parks, you know, a substantial portion of the state parks activities were funded with our general fund revenue. So that's, you know, income taxes, sales taxes, stuff that comes into the state, and then we use it for, you know, lots of different things. That was eliminated, you know, in the mid 2010s, and so now the state parks are almost completely funded with user fees, and that contributes. And this is kind of, again, you know, this was shocking to us when we found this out, given our background. But Wisconsin, at least in 2017, using some data that we found, was the lowest in terms of spending per visit to state parks. So Wisconsin spent about $1 of state funds per visit to our state parks. Whereas, you know, across the U.S., average was $3. Some states, you know, spent quite a bit more than that, 10, 15. But again, you know, given this tradition we have of outdoor recreation, it was very surprising to see that, you know, we were last in the country on something like this.
Yeah, that's not good.
No,
it's really not. And it sounds, Tyler, from what you described, so when they made this change away from state money to primarily user fees, so they could apply that money somewhere else, right? They took it from the funding of the parks to apply it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it goes. And, you know, right now we have this massive budget surplus in the state, but that wasn't the case, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. And so as things like schools and property tax relief and income tax cuts and, you know, the university system and all these other priorities, Medicaid is a really big one. All these other priorities sort of jumped the line on state park funding. And, you know, the shift was made more towards those user fees. But then we've also not really... We've had a couple of increases in, you know, state park stickers and user fees, those sorts of things, but they haven't really kept up with inflation.
Yeah.
And so that's why we see these things kind of tail off a little bit in terms of spending.
You know, Tyler, one of the things you were just discussing, which, you know, including the dollar here versus $3 average, for those who haven't seen the article or the report, and they will both be in the show notes today.
Yep.
This is not something, you know, it just happened either. This isn't something I want to make sure, because when we talk about conservation, we really want to look at it from, I don't want to say a bipartisan look, but just it affects us all. And this is 25 years in the making. And this is 25 years of lawmakers of all stripes coming through Madison. And this is where I would say, and we've talked about this on the show before, is this is the importance of getting a hold of your lawmakers and saying, these are my traditions.
Yes.
My father, my mother, my grandmother, my grandfather taught me these. You know, you're talking about the fishing net that you have hanging in pride of your family. This goes above and beyond party lines.
Yes.
These are responsible lawmakers who have allowed these funding measures to decline over nearly three decades. And it's important for us to talk to them about it, because we want to pass these things on to our children and our grandchildren. And with a budget surplus of what we have, I don't think it would take a lot to fund these measures and keep our conservation, keep our beautiful outdoors very well funded.
And Tyler, we talk about this all the time because we like to bring light to issues that affect all of us and are important to all of us. But then it's like, well, we dropped that horrible news on you. Good luck. Have a good day. And what you can do, though, is call your elected representatives. That actually does make a difference. We've talked about this many times. And if you don't know who they are and you don't know their contact information, it's myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is plug your address in there, and it will bring up all of your elected officials, from your county board members to your, you know, your lawmakers and your legislators. And we highly encourage you to call. You can also write. And yeah. We've talked to folks who have said that that's even a little bit more impactful if people take the time to write to their lawmakers. But at least that's something that we can do.
Yeah.
At least it's a motion. It's something.
And the work that you and Jason Stein put into this report is something that can be referred to then. You know, if they hear us, they hear you discussing this. I mean, you are an expert. You are putting out the facts here. These are cold, hard facts. And you care about it. You know, let's do something about it.
Yeah. And I, you know, to kind of add to that, and we're not, of course, an advocacy organization right. in any way. You know, we try to be sort of down the line nonpartisan. But, you know, we are coming up on a new budget cycle this fall. And so, you know, if this is something that's important to you, now would be a good time to make those connections. Yeah, and I, you know, one of the things that's interesting is one of our big programs for, you know, acquiring public lands, the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, you know, that's two governors, one Democrat, one Republican. And so, you know, we do have a tradition, a long bipartisan tradition of supporting these sorts of things.
Tyler Barnes is our guest. He's a researcher with the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and we're talking about a big report that they did about funding for Wisconsin's natural resources and parks, essentially. Data from the DNR shows general purpose revenue for state parks once made up around 40% of the budget 4 decades ago. And as you pointed out, Tyler, obviously there's a lot of other things, and other things have taken more priorities. If you can stay for another segment, we'll keep this conversation going.
Yeah, that works for me.
Wonderful. Stay close. Jack from Racine, I see you on the line as well. Don't hang up. We will be right back. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Just don't know what else to do about
it.
Procedures with a level of exactness, and lastly, what you do is just commonly called your practice. What's your policy? Passed by a governing body. What's your policy?
Good morning, and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. 855-752-4842. If you ever want to join the conversation, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Tyler Barnes is a researcher with the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and we're talking about a recent report where they talk about there has been a pretty large decline in state tax-generated money for conservation, public lands, and the environment. I'm wondering, Tyler, are there things that are happening in other states that Wisconsin could follow along as their examples?
So we checked into a couple things, and, you know, other states fund them with a similar mix, right? Some states, you know, rely on user fees. One of the things that a few other states do is, you know, dedicate a specific part of their sales tax revenue to conservation funding. So, you know, in some cases, it's the sales tax on sporting goods. Some cases, it's, you know, an additional fee on things like fishing gear or guns and ammo, those sorts of things that can be dedicated to funding those sorts of things. You know, Georgia does something like that. Texas does something like that. And so, you know, we in the report, we do a little bit more detailed analysis of like, okay, so what would that look like here in Wisconsin? The one model that, you know, a lot of folks point to is kind of this, in the conservation world, it's kind of like the dream scenario. Is the Minnesota model, and they, you know, have a clean, they amended their constitution They levy a specific sales tax for conservation, clean water, recreation, cultural heritage. Since 2010, that's brought in, you know, $2.9 billion for clean water, those other, you know, those other priorities. And, you know, if Wisconsin had a similar tax like this, I kind of did a back of the envelope estimate.
Yep.
It'd be about $500 million a year in revenue. And that, again, gets split out because it was a coalition that came together to create this thing. So there's the arts. There's land conservation. So think about things like cover crops and filter strips to keep, you know, keep the runoff from the farm fields from getting in the water. And then, you know, there's outdoor recreation that we've heard about that we're talking about here. And so, you know, that's some other things that have been done. Mm-hmm. One really interesting model that I dug into quite a bit was in Colorado, and there you know, they offer tax credits, income tax credits to landowners that make a big donation of either the land itself or a conservation easement on a ranch or, you know, some forest land, and say, okay, we're going to set this aside for conservation. And then you get the value of that as a tax credit. And so we looked into that, and again, there's, you know, it gets pretty detailed for a real in-depth look here, but, you know, that's an interesting option too. You know, I do want to point out, like, there's no magic money from the sky.
Sure. There's no magic formula for this.
Yep. But there are different options that are worth exploring. You know, another thing that the governor's budget did in the last budget was raise the out-of-state deer hunting fees, which, you know, we were, given how great the deer hunting is here in Wisconsin, we had a pretty low out-of-state license fee.
Yeah.
We were, you know, half of what Iowa is. And look, I lived in Iowa for a while. The deer hunting here is better.
I'm sorry, Tyler. Who wants to go to Iowa? And who wants to hunt in Illinois either? Come on. Wisconsin's considerably more beautiful if you're going to be doing that. And it's funny that you mentioned the whole what Minnesota is doing, because we talk about this often. Yeah. We're going to have to do a segment called Minnesota Envy, because they're just doing things that we would kind of like to see get done here.
Go on.
I'm sorry. Jack from Racine has been very, very patient on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thank you so much for waiting. What did you want to say?
Good morning. Thank you. I just wanted to say that I'm an active user of the park system and the hunting and fishing grounds in the state public. And it's just been an important part of my life and my family life for a long time. And I would pay more taxes either of the ways you're talking about in order to support those. And so I really hope that the balance can be changed. And that I hope that it doesn't, I don't want user fees to be so high that people, the average citizen below are priced out of going to these wonderful areas.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate it. And Jake from Madison is also waiting on the line. Good morning, Jake. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'd like to mention the Emerald Star Dairy expansion in the Willow River watershed that the DNR granted permits for to double in size and double the amount of cow waste being spread over the land. And the wells there are already contaminated. All that Willow River water runs into the Mississippi and contaminates everything downstream. And if you're talking about, you know, funding from the DNR not being enough, but how about just them openly agreeing to pollute the water, you know, even doubling the pollution of the water in places where it's already a problem? That's all these holdovers from the Walker administration that are still in the DNR making decisions against the will of the people.
Thank you so much, Jake. Really appreciate your call. Again, call your elected officials.
Yeah.
If you would like to see some of the DNR be given more oversight to deal with looking over these CAFOs and what's going on with these large animal feeding operations.
It's something we've talked about
many times
on the show. CAFOs, PFAS, all those things in the world that we don't think about, they're out there harming our land, harming our outdoors. We definitely, yes.
MyVote.WI.gov.
Yes.
MyVote.WI.gov. Call your elected officials. Be respectful. Be polite. Make your point.
Let's tax alcohol. Like, let's put like a half a percent. You know how much money we could raise if we half a percent?
A whole bunch of money. Tyler Barnes is a researcher with Tyler, with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. And we were going to put the report from the WP Wisconsin Policy Forum in the show notes. It's a really fascinating read. And Tyler, we want to suggest also, if you're ever bored, there was a Journal Sentinel reporter who has a whole list of the top complaints of people from state parks. It is the funniest thing you will ever read in your entire life.
Yes. When we talk about heavy topics like this, we always say, go look up bad reviews of state parks. They are exactly how wonderful you think they're going to be.
Too much grass.
Too much grass.
Too much grass.
Too many dogs.
So. That's a good problem to have, I'd say. Too many dogs. Mine has actually kept quiet this whole time. So
it's been really good.
Nice.
Tyler Barnes from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, thank you so very much for spending time with us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. And, you know, anytime you need somebody from our organization, we're always happy to talk.
We will absolutely reach out. Stay with us. We have news on the way next. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A store policy to return a pair of lousy pants is really just a rule to avoid consumer rants. The policy principles that I think they really mean are to keep you as a customer and beat shoplifting schemes. What's your policy? Passed by a governing body.
What's your policy?
It can't be vague or foggy.
What's your policy?
Its principles embody.
What's your policy?
Well, that is our policy, but it's kind of not our practice. Policy is subject to procedural due fairness. Justice principles should also be in your awareness, because if you don't and then you find that you're in an appeal, they may end up to have a case that's a legal ordeal.
What's your policy?
Passed by a governing body.
What's your policy?
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide is on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the show. Give us a call. Send in a text, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Coming up right before the end of the show, Greg Bach, we're going to do a Let's Not Do This segment. We haven't done that in a while.
There's so many things we shouldn't do.
Yeah, there really are. But
I can't believe he said Minnesota had a constitutional amendment. Tyler Burns, who we just had on the show, said Minnesota has a constitutional amendment that protects their outdoors. And of course, because they're just so great.
Because they're Minnesota. I know. And that we'll work on that. Minnesota envy. Once again, we have Minnesota envy over and over and over again. There is a hearing going on in Washington, D.C. right now that we all have a very vested interest in. And I'm curious what you think. I genuinely am. So Midway Broadcasting CEO Melody Spann Cooper is testifying before a House of Representatives committee on a law that would require automakers to keep AM radio available in new cars. And this has been going on for months.
I am without words on this one. Why wouldn't you? Like,
genuinely?
I understand why you don't keep a tape player or an 8-track player, or even now cars don't have CD players. I get it. They have Bluetooth. You got a phone. Great. But radio is, it just doesn't make sense why you get rid of one versus the other and why you'd get rid of any at all. It doesn't make sense to me.
I'm assuming the argument is, as you said, there's so many other ways people get information now that they think it's superfluous.
Yeah.
But I maintain, especially AM radio is critically important.
Yes.
Especially in times of emergency.
Absolutely. I just think it's important, period. I think it's, you're cutting off access to certain things, and not even for emergency, like, news and weather and
traffic updates, weather updates.
You know, it just doesn't make sense. And someone also make sense on a conspiracy level then too. Like they're taking away our AM radio because the world is flat. You know, like it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. What does it cost us? What does it save us? And once again, what are the ramifications? We've been asking that question a lot today. What are the ramifications?
I'm also curious, where do you listen? Do you listen in your car? Do you listen to the radio in your kitchen? Do you listen in the basement? Or is it all streaming? Do you only stream?
Yeah.
I'm genuinely curious how you listen. 855-752-4842. And I'd also love to know why you think local radio is important. Why is radio important to you?
Mm-hmm.
What does it do for you or your life?
Yeah. I can tell you right now that when I'm listening, even though I love the Civic Media app, it's wonderful. It's free. It's there. I drive a lot. But when I'm listening to I'm popping on the radio.
Yep.
Right in my car. I got 540 AM. I got 1400 programmed in there. Simple.
And that's where you are.
Like every car has had since cars have had radios.
How would it affect you if there was no AM radio in your car? What would you miss the most? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
I mean, for me, I don't stream on my phone while I'm in my car. I don't use my data when I don't need to. I'm on Wi-Fi, basically. I'm on a plan where if I use my Wi-Fi, I save a lot of money.
Sure.
So I don't use my data while I'm driving. Therefore, I can't download an app that plays the radio on my phone. So if I want to listen to the radio, need my car radio, period. So if I don't have that, I'm not listening to AM or FM.
You're not listening to anything.
Exactly. So that's hugely detrimental for me personally.
Calvin, I'm fairly certain you do not listen to AM radio in your car, but as a resident young person, I wanted to check.
I can't say that I do.
Do you listen to FM radio?
I do not do that either.
Okay. Do you know what radio is?
I do. Okay. And in the event that my phone dies, then I will turn on the radio.
He's just going to walk right into the lake and be like, it's over. I'm done.
There's no point in living anymore.
Lynn from Oconomowoc says, hiya, streaming only 2014 Camry hybrid. I still haven't learned how to set my radio. Lynn, come on over. I'll help you out. I got a hybrid. We'll take care of you. But yeah. Okay. So that's one for streaming.
Whatever works.
I mean, that's the thing is, if maybe we are in the minority on this one. Maybe the world is streaming and not using that radio as much as we are.
But I swear, a fair amount of the callers that we get, I know they're listening in their cars.
I know, because they don't turn on the radio.
Or you can hear the dinging of the door, or, yeah. You know, stuff like that. There's got little giveaways there that help us identify where you're listening. And so, again, this discussion has been going on for months. I don't know why I thought this had been resolved already, but this is still a discussion on whether or not automakers should keep putting AM radios in cars. And again, I have a very vested interest in this. Obviously, this is our livelihood.
And also,
but I just think information wise, we really provide critical services.
Well, also, when you say that too, AM radio in the car, they're not putting in two separate radios. They put in one component,
right,
which access. So what you're also saying is we're going to put in a component in your car, which does not have the access to this one thing. And no one can make it make sense to me. Why all of a sudden you have FM radio and that's it. Or like, hey, this new car has streaming radio only. You can't even get the FM channels either. Hi, the future's here. You know, it just seems ridiculous to me.
Who's behind this?
Who's
the evil puppet master in the background?
John Oliver to do a 35-minute deep dive into AM radio, and I bet you it's probably on their docket.
855-752-4842. I would love to hear from you about where you listen to the radio. Is AM radio important to you, and why? Our friend Rob from Port Edwards joining us. Good morning, Rob. What did you want to say?
Good morning, folks. Good show. I'm jaded. I am also a show host. I do the blues at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point.
Cool.
And I listen to the radio continuously. Mm-hmm. And irrespective of AM, I use them. I have them on for different reasons. For the AM, for the sports, occasionally if I'm traveling and I'm out of decent AM or FM range, mm-hmm. At least there's some background tunes or noise or whatever. Yeah. I try not to do talk shows on AM at all, unfortunately, for
except
you
for
folks,
us.
But, you know, it is what it is. But the reason I listen to the FM so much is because of the diversity. Mm-hmm. Because I'm involved with the university as well as with a community station in Madison, we play stuff that you aren't going to get on the commercial stations. It's not repetitive.
Yeah.
There aren't commercials. You know, and I'll get off my soapbox on that. But the point is, there's good stuff. It's not programmed. It's not analog and fed into a algorithm. And this is what the audience wants. No, it's real life people at the university. The average age of these kids is just that, is 20 years old.
Wow.
And yeah. And people are, I get calls all the time. And granted, I'm a graybeard, but I get calls all the time from folks around the country. Some of them are in their 80s and they're still listening and say, keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing. That, we can't find it otherwise.
That is yeah. so cool.
Have a great day, folks.
You too, Rob. That is so cool. Absolutely. There is nothing like hearing from people from all over the country.
Yeah. Or all over the world.
Or you know, even all over the state saying that, you know, we found you. We like you. It's the best feeling in the world.
Thank you, listener from Barcelona. We got a few texts coming through here. One, first of all, Calvin, where can I find the song? What's your policy? I feel like that's one Google search away. What's my policy? What's your policy song on Google? What's it called?
I Googled public policy song, and the song that came up is The Policy Song.
By who?
John Churkley. It only has 288 views. It's kind of a deep cut.
John okay. Churkley? I love him. All of that. John Churkley. He's got it. Okay, you're not right. buying it.
Yeah,
never
it's
mind.
Fine. Fine. All right. Texture from the 262, all listening WAUK, saying, ice cream WAUK. I'm thinking I stream.
I believe so.
Stop texting and driving. During the day, I stream WAUK during the day because my work van AM side of the radio does not work. Otherwise, in my other vehicles, I listen to it on the radio.
Okay.
Stephen Hayward says, I only stream most of the time because our AM signal up here must not be strong enough. Must be all the trees.
No
keep
doubt.
Up the great work.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
And that's the thing is, if you have to stream, that's great. If you can listen to AM, that's wonderful. But we shouldn't have the option taken away from us.
Yeah, I don't understand the driving factor behind not including AM radios in new cars. Carmela has been waiting. Thank you for your patience, Carmela. Congratulations, new bride, and thank you for joining us. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I got a car today. And that made my day, so thank you.
You are welcome.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the AM. As you were saying that, my AM radio was starting to crackle, so then I quickly switched over to the Civic Media app, which is great. It comes in very clear. But a lot of times, like Greg said, I'm in my car, so sometimes that's why I'm only texting, because I'm pulling over going, okay, and I want to respond to this, so I think it's hysterical. And actually, I found the Bluetooth in my car a few months ago when my battery died.
Oh.
I have a 2004 Jeep, but the radio was updated when I bought it 3 years ago. And I'm going through the settings, and there was a Bluetooth setting, and all of a sudden I realized I'm getting a phone call. I'm connected, and it's coming through my radio.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. That's the coolest thing ever.
At least you embraced it, Carmela, where other like people would get like, why is my car talking to me?
You are. That would be me. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much, Carmela. Thank you very, very much for listening, and congratulations again.
Our very own Corey Hartman
yeah.
said broadcast radio still reaches over 90% of the 18-plus audience in the United States every week. And yes, most listening is in the car, but a good percentage is also at work streaming. He sent an image. Oh, he also sent data. He sent a graph. But that's the thing is, once again, streaming, cool. Radio, great. But let's have the option. Let's make it. It doesn't make sense to just take away AM in the car. It doesn't. I don't understand why we're arguing for the benefits.
Well, and again, we're just curious of where you listen. Why is it important to you? What does radio mean to you? We know what it means to us. 855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb. Good morning, Troy. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Great show.
Thank you.
I always listen to you guys on the app because I drive trucks. So, like right now, I'm in Naperville, Illinois. So when I was delivering soda around Madison, I found the Devil's Advocates by mistake. You know, just
we get it.
Scrolling through on the radio. Yeah,
sure.
Mistake was the wrong word. But then I'd have to get out because out of my truck because I had to deliver the soda. Then I couldn't listen to them, and then they came up with the app, and I'm like, oh, that'll be great because yep. Now I can listen to them all the time.
Yep.
But then I'd get into the cooler and I couldn't listen to them anyways because
yeah.
I didn't have service in there.
But now you found us.
And you could listen to the podcast if you ever miss anything, Troy.
Exactly.
You can always listen to the podcast. Thank you so much, Troy, for calling in. Thank you very, very much for listening. We really
yes.
appreciate it. We will keep this going. We just have one more segment and then we'll have a quick, let's not do this.
Yeah.
If you're going to call, do it now. 855-752-4842. This is Matt Nair on air, and you're listening to the Vast Civic Media Radio Network.
AM for life!
Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Fox, Sweet Kel B on the board. You can always join us. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to ruin. There is a hearing going on in front of a House committee in Washington, D.C. today about it would require automakers to keep making AM radio available in new cars. And this has been going on. I mean, this discussion has been going on for a while. I, for some odd reason, thought this had already been resolved, but apparently not. So we're taking your calls about where you listen to the radio. Do you stream? Do you actually listen to an actual radio? Did you hit yourself in the head?
I hit myself in the head with. I wanted to see
microphone?
How many I wanted to see how many callers we had, and I was just like, oh, how many? Whap.
Ouch.
Okay.
Careful over there. Bob from Madison is on the line. Good morning, Bob. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Hi. Well, I'm lucky enough here to get you on FM. You know, I know in a lot of new cars, they give you a trial of like Sirius XM, get you addicted to a lot of the stations, and then start that monthly payment. But, you know, an earlier caller, I think they had a key, and I hope you'll ask John Oliver to do a deep dive on this. You know, about all I can get here in town on AM is sports. And sports is big money.
Oh, yeah.
And they like their viewers. So I'm wondering if it's driven by moneyed interest, you know, to try to get FM off so you can't listen to sports. Also, you know, people like to bring the AM radio into a ball game even and listen to a baseball game through an earplug, too.
I mean, so, that's some of the best commentating happening.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, if you have any pull, I'd really like to see John Oliver looked into that a little deeper to see if there's something behind the scenes on that. Yeah,
Bob, we will call John Oliver immediately after the show is over. I'm sure he will pick
up. I've got him on the phone right now. Mr. Oliver.
No, but that's a great idea a deep dive. It really is.
I absolutely, because this seems like, I don't want to like, it seems nefarious. Like, it just seems weird and random. And like, there's somebody somewhere who says, I own all the AM radios, and if you want it, you have to come to me.
Or are we just so suspicious now of everything? I'm not quite sure. Thank you so much, Bob. Really appreciate you calling, and thank you for listening. Danny from Oshkosh is on the line. Good morning, Danny. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. You know, I'm going to talk serious for a while here.
All right. We got a couple minutes.
The reason why we ought to keep radio in the medium for everybody, and I'm talking AM and FM, is one out of 10 teens have attempted suicide. One thing, veterans, I was looking for the statistic, but the veterans, I happen to be one, have an alarming weight of suicides too.
Yes.
What I'm saying is, actually, the radio is also a companion. It mellows people out. It gives them an activity to listen to. It gives them a compassion to feel, and I think all that's important.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right, yeah. Danny. Thank you so very much. I would love to think that we're a companion. We're a companion with you if you're listening in your kitchen or, you know, your bathroom, or you're working in the garage or wherever you are.
Or in a time of need.
Absolutely.
And if you are a person who's in need, please, I mean, I don't have them off the top of my head right now, but please reach out, whether it's prevention hotline.
Send it 51.
989. If you're feeling that, there's a lot of opportunity out there for help, but please, if you're in a situation like that, we'd love to be a voice that calms you. But please reach out to
someone. Reach out for help. Yeah. Absolutely. Tom from Green Bay is on the line. Good morning, Tom. We're talking about radio and why is radio important to you? Is radio important to you? Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Proud AM/FM listener here. Enjoy it as much as I can. Love having you up on GBW up here. And I think also I'm spending a lot of time in the Northwoods where sometimes reception can be spotty. AM has been where you can get euchre. Kind of in the middle of nowhere where sometimes cellular reception doesn't work. And then also knowing that, cellular and satellites are susceptible to damage or anything of the sort, I think AM terrestrial radio is an important safety net for communication to spread information out. So I'm right with you on we need to have those options, need to have the variants of abilities and ways to listen, because if one goes out, we need another way.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much, Tom. And I can only think back to, and again, I've been doing this a very long time, but radio is invaluable for when time is of the essence, because we can often turn things around much faster than a TV station can.
Yes.
And certainly than a print outlet can. So I go back to 9/11 and what was happening on 9/11. Mm-hmm. And we were, it's just instantaneous. When the weather is bad, when there's severe storms coming, when there's major traffic problems, bridge collapses, whatever. I really do think, not just in our own interest, but I really do think that AM radio and radio in general remains critical.
I absolutely agree. And we did make a mistake. Andrew from Maine, thank you for the correction. The hotline for suicide prevention is 988.
988.
We got some other texts. We said, I get the impression car makers are looking to drop AM/FM receiver antennas and associated hardware from their new cars, lessening weight and things to break. I mean, I get that, but if they're only looking to not have AM, and like I said, it's only one component that carries both, I don't know how that makes sense, but I get what you're saying. We're trying to find a reason. I mostly, as this is from 608 listening to WMDX, I mostly listen to you on the radio, but there are a lot of areas in the west of Madison that your station doesn't come in. Cutting AM requires less components to the radio equipment. That saves automakers money. They will do almost anything to cut a penny, 1 cent on a million vehicles is a huge savings.
And that's true.
That's not wrong as well. I mean, I get it. You know, everyone wants to save a buck, save a penny, but come on.
I don't think this is the way to do
it. You can find other ways of doing it.
And hopefully, well, we will keep you posted on this. Yeah. And very, very quickly, let's not do this.
Yeah.
40-year-old Clarence Yoder was jailed after kicking a bison in the leg last week, and then the bison attacked him.
I'm pro-bison on this one.
Go bison.
Pro-Biden, pro-bison.
There you go. That should be an easy ticket right there. All right, news is on the way next. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and to our engineering team. Without you, nothing works. Thank you to all of our guests today. And thank you most of all you for calling and for listening and for texting. It genuinely means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day.